The following is a production of Dirty Mo Media. Sterling Marlin will be the guest for the show.
I'm pumped. I'm pumped that Sterling Marlin's here. I mean, man, this has been one that's been requested and we've been waiting for a long time.
Boy, I done told you he'd be kicking me in the ass with cowboy boots. I'll be going around in a circle. Broke his collarbone twice.
What? His collarbone?
Yeah.
You broke your dad's collarbone?
Rode with a go-kart.
Oh, okay.
He kept jumping out at me. I dodged. I said, I ain't dodging this time. I come back.
You ran over him?
Yeah.
You ran over your dad?
I thought he was going to jump out of the way, and he didn't.
You know, a lot of people would want us to touch on the 2001 Daytona 500. I'm getting literal death threats about this, about, you know, people thinking I had something to do with this. Let's talk about Parkinson's. When did you recognize that you might have something going on?
I'd get out of bed in the mornings, and I'd trip in the house. And I said, what the hell is wrong, man? I couldn't hook my seatbelt on my helmet. You know, we talk right at times. But still 6 feet above ground.
Hey, everybody, welcome to another episode of the Dale Jr. Download. This is episode 411. This is Thursday, February 9th, 2023. Basically, man, we're going to recap a bit of what we went through this week. We had Sterling Marlin on the show, and we certainly want to talk about that. He was here in the Bojangles studio, and it was pretty interesting to listen to some of the things he had to tell us. But, Mike, let's get right into it, man. Sterling Marlin.
Sterling Marlin was somebody that's long been requested, somebody we wanted to, and I'll just go ahead and say right off the jump, we knew that it was probably going to be difficult to, you know, understand some things. And I know that yesterday when we dropped the podcast, you know, some people may have to try a little harder to kind of make out some things. He's battling Parkinson's, guys, and we didn't. That does not need to be a reason why we don't have Sterling Marlin on the show. Sterling Marlin needed to be on the show, and I'd love to have him back one day. So the fact of the matter is, it was great to see him. What did you think just from the conversations that we had that we had with him? What were your just immediate impressions from yesterday?
I was glad he said that because, yeah, at times it's difficult to understand Sterling, but with everything that is accomplished in his career and who he is and what he means to the sport, we certainly want to get him in here and talk to him. It was good to see him, good to, you know, talk to him about his battle with Parkinson's and how he's managing that. These are personal topics and conversations that you're trying to interject yourself into, and it's can be a bit uncomfortable at times, but Sterling seemed happy to discuss that with us. We touched on the 2001 Daytona race a little bit, briefly. I really didn't know what else to say about that. You know, I know – how do you – when he came to me that day at Rockingham a week after Dad's crash and said, hey, man, would you mind doing me an assist here and telling people to get off my back? They're literally giving me death threats. And I thought, yeah, I can handle that. I can clean that up for you. And we never talked about it afterwards. So that stuck in my mind as, like, you know, what kind of, you know, how if he didn't have any guilt or didn't have any, you know, concern or doubt about involvement in what happened that day, that, you know, getting death threats about it certainly would have an impact on your psychological feelings, right, about it, right? So he seemed like it's not something that bothers him, not something that he worries about, which is good. You know, in talking to the folks that are with him during the interview, they said that, you know, they told me, they, like, you know, Sterling probably once a month watches the last 10 laps of that race.
Wow.
Yeah. So Sterling wouldn't open up about it, but they said he came in. He came to the studio with a group of people and some friends of his and so forth. And which we like that. We like people to be here and support the people. And it makes the person in the chair more comfortable. Whatever. Well, they said, you know, about once a month he watches the last 10 laps of that race, and maybe looking at what might have could have been done or happened differently, and that it still bothers him. And he wouldn't share that with us, which is fine.
Right.
But, I hate that.
Yeah.
You know, and I hope that, hope that him coming here today and talking to us and, hopefully, I'm certain he's got other things to worry about than something that happened 20 years ago. But the fact that that he might still, think about that day and what might could have happened differently, or
that's sad.
It is. I mean, I certainly do not go back and watch it.
Right.
And I do not wonder what might have happened differently or could have been done differently. I do that with my own races. Now, I watch races of my own and think about what might have happened, but I'll never have that problem with that particular event. And so that must be difficult.
It occurred to me while we were talking to him early on, I didn't realize that he mentioned something. It was very quick. It might have been difficult for the listeners to hear, but he said, "I loved him." Right when we started talking about Dale Earnhardt, he said, "I loved him."
Right out of the top.
Yep. And then as you started bringing up the 2001 race, it occurred to me, the fact that he had to come to you and ask your help for to try to eliminate the death threats, he wasn't even able to grieve right. And maybe he's actually still grieving. And I've noticed this. I don't like to go overstate these things and over-dramatize these things, but it certainly has occurred to me on this show over the years that some of the people that we've had on here are still sort of processing all that went on, some 21, 22 years ago.
Yeah.
And you're right. He didn't really want to go open up that. And you gave him an opportunity. He said he doesn't think about it, but it appears that he does. And that maybe he's still trying to cope with it and trying to, grieve somebody that he says he loved.
Yeah. I enjoy talking to him about how he kind of piecemealed his career together there for a while before he got the full-time ride in the 44 Piedmont car. I really am, kind of fascinated by that work ethic or that effort to sort of, find rides, calling people up, calling Heller Ake. Hey, can I take your car to the track? Yeah. You want to build it?
Yeah, if you want to crew it, build it, everything else. Yeah.
Having to be resourceful. It's fascinating to me. Plus, then, why do you leave one team to go to another, right? Why do you leave Morbid McClure, this thing that seems to be working really well, and go and drive for Junior Johnson?
Right.
That, in my mind, when he went to the 22, I thought, well, that's not better. What if that, a second car looked at that was the B car. The Bud number 11 was always going to be Junior's prime top piece. And the second car was never going to be as good or perceived to be as good, mm-hmm. right? And perception's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So, but here's Sterling. He's like, hell yeah, Junior Johnson, man, kick ass. We're going. I was fired up. And then when he left, he leaves and goes to Sabco, right? And it's like, why did you – actually, I think he was
– He answered that one. He says, Felix has money.
I think I kind of got that backwards. He left the 44, the 94, and goes to Junior.
That's right, yeah. Because that Hamby had been sold to that Wayne –
Well, I'm just saying I got it a little bit backwards, but he leaves the 44 team to go to the B car on the 22 for Junior. Then he leaves the four and goes to Sabco.
That's right.
And he made sense of it. He's like, I took Glover with me and all those people from the four. He took what he thought made the four car work with him. And
right.
Now I remember, now that you forget about those details. You forget about all the little, pieces that move around. And I'd always wanted to ask him about breaking his neck, leading the points, a championship style year. And he literally had to call in and say, hey, man, I'm done this year.
Yeah.
And that was kind of the end of Sterling's.
100%. I mean, that was his best year, and he never even came close to having a year like that.
Jamie goes and wins in his second start. Jamie kind of.
He was the heir apparent at that point. It really was the end for Sterling.
It was.
I remember that year very well because it was my first year in the sport, and I was just captivated by it all. My driver was a teammate of Sterling, so while, you know, my driver was sucking out there, Sterling had the world on fire. And so this, I remember a lot of those wins. He was so good. That car was amazing.
Yeah.
That Silver Bullet, man. It was so good.
It was good that year.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everybody thought they had traction control.
I thought they did too.
Maybe they did. But I know we went to Martinsville and sat in a driver's meeting and NASCAR held up a electronic and said, We got information that leads us to believe teams may be using traction control or something like it in this garage. And if we find it, better trust it's going to be a massive problem for you.
I remember this now because it was like anybody that was running good, you just sort of started going, are they running the traction control?
When Sterling started running that good, everybody just started. That's what I kind of tried to allude to him. And that's another difficult thing to do in this chair is when you're sitting across from a guy going, you know, you kind of you people weren't sure about your talent, you know.
Right.
So you win one Daytona 500 and people call it a fluke.
Right.
Now you go back and win back to back, and that adds, you know, that credit, that makes the first one creditable. It's hard to figure out how to word that without offending them or pissing them off.
Yeah, because it pissed you off when it happened to you. Jimmy did the same thing in a very public way. But so, I understand. That makes sense.
Yeah. So when Sterling had that, you know, that championship style or championship esque career or season, a lot of people thought that, you know, well, they're doing something. And it's Ganassi, but he's got that IndyCar technology. Ooh.
Yeah.
What could that be, you know?
That IndyCar technology. That's right. That's exactly what people were saying. The one thing hopefully this comes off in the, you know, the television production. NBC and Peacock are not going to start airing episodes until the week after the Daytona 500. I hope they do this one.
Yeah.
But I don't know if they will. It's not our call. But my point on this is that if they don't, we will have videos that certainly show the facial expressions of Sterling. I know it would have been difficult to hear. I know that he, at times he rocked back and forth and he'd get away from that mic a little bit, but he's battling the Parkinson's, right? Like he was battling the Parkinson's during the conversation, but his facial expressions was the same old Sterling, like the joking, like he would give you that smile, and like, especially when he starts talking about the hijinks that he used to pull, or like, you know, when they're going, trying to drive the track at Pocono, or just those things. Man, that was what Sterling Marlin was so – that's his legacy. It was just a fun guy that there would just never be another guy like him.
Yeah, he was unique.
Picture this. It's blazing hot outside, and you need to head to work. You get into your car and turn on the AC to get the cold air pumping as soon as possible, but it doesn't work. Instead, blowing hot air out of your vents and directly into your face. No, your car doesn't hate you. This issue is commonly caused by low refrigerant due to leaks in the air conditioning system, and there's an easy all-in-one solution that will restore your cold air in no time.
There's no need to go to the shop and pay lots of money when you can save time and money recharging yourself with AC Pro Recharge Kits. AC Pro Recharge Kits make restoring cold air easy for even those with zero DIY experience. And the AC Pro app offers clear, vehicle-specific instructions to help you get the job done in less than 10 minutes.
So pick up an AC Pro Recharge Kit at any store selling auto products and confidently restore your car's cold air yourself today. Be a pro with AC Pro.
Hey, Mike, something great about this Thursday show. When we do interviews, we often either run out of time or something slips our mind, you know?
Yeah.
And we can't go back, right, and get that person back in the room and ask them a question. But with this Thursday show, this gives us a chance to try to get that person on the phone to be able to get that last bit of information. And there's one particular thing that I need to ask Sterling.
Oh, what is it?
Well, I mean, obviously, I'm a big fan, I suppose, of the L.W. Wright NASCAR DB Cooper.
Oh my God! Story. Yes, he was involved in that, wasn't he?
Yeah, he rented LW Wright the car, and recently LW Wright's come out there. There's a man that's come out that says I'm him, and you know, certainly we need to hear from Sterling's side, not only what Sterling experienced back at Talladega in 1981, but now that this guy's come out to say he's LW Wright, what does Sterling think about that?
Right.
So let's try to call him up.
Call Sterling up.
Sterling's still in town. He's visiting a few folks while he's here, so maybe we can catch him before he goes home. Hey, Sterling.
Yes, sir.
Hey, it's Junior.
What's going on, man?
Hey, man. Just wanting to call you back. I'd thought about our conversation yesterday and had a couple things I forgot to ask you about, and I wanted to ask you.
All right. Well,
you got a minute?
Oh, that's good. That's good.
Okay. Hey, so I've always been fascinated by L.W. Wright and that story.
Huh.
And obviously, I don't know if you've heard, but in the last year, he sort of came out to, there's a Minuteman that came out and said that he was L.W. Wright.
Yeah.
Did you see that?
I saw it, yeah.
Was it him?
I can't remember really what it looked like.
But. Oh, man. So you were the one that rented L.W. Wright the car in Talladega.
Yeah, I got to trade the car and food chief. No.
So where did that car come from?
It was a car that I bought from Hutch. It had it narrowed up, put the 60s thread width in it. And I ran one race somewhere in Charlotte in the fall. Come back. Then they had the money to sell it. But he come to the house, he's on the telephone and acts like he's talking to Merle Haggard and George Jones. I had lost money sometime and I made him come and pay some money before it took off, you know.
Yeah.
Scared him to Talladega. And I didn't realize he was a drove.
Yeah, so what was the first sign that you noticed this guy wasn't a real racer?
Didn't want to get in the car.
He didn't want to get in there.
To practice, yeah.
He was scared.
He got an electric chair in the race car.
He was scared.
Yeah.
So
that was running 2010s over Jack Hill said. He ran 2010.
Yeah. And so
he spun out,
yeah, he wrecked it, didn't he?
Pulled all the hell.
Right. I seen a picture of it, the fender bent off of it and everything. See,
oh, yeah.
Why didn't y'all at that point, why did you fix it? Why didn't you just call it a weekend?
Hell, I need some money.
Yeah. So he needed to run the race for the money to come through.
Yeah, he needed money to come through.
So he wrecks it, and you're by this point, when you know you get ready to start the race on Sunday, you're pretty much sure that you got a con man or a guy who's lying. But it is what it is. Y'all were going to go for it.
Yeah, yeah.
And he got black flagged early in the race because of his pace or something.
Running too slow. Yeah.
He just was scared.
I told him to park.
So he pulls in. Did you see him after he gets out?
Never saw him.
Wow. So he pulls it into the garage?
Yeah.
And he got out before anybody got to him. And he was
way down on the pit road. And he's gone when he got there.
Never heard from him again.
Never heard from him again. I had to go pull a Secret Service move at night, and I found the car. Then my buddy got the truck and turned it back.
Oh, the car? They loaded the car up and took off with it?
Yeah, we left. We came back. I didn't boil the old stuff up. He go out to Mount Juliet, somewhere up in Nashville.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the car was.
The car was hiding. The car was, you had to go get the car?
He had an old barn.
Oh, he stuck it in a barn?
Yeah.
And damn. So you find the car and get your car back and you're fine. You're like, whatever. I got my money. I got my car. I don't need nothing else from this guy.
Yeah, I tore left front fender. That's about it.
Damn. So the other thing, that's pretty interesting. I mean, the story in a way has kind of been looked at as the DB Cooper of NASCAR. And in a way, it really is that. Like, you know, even if the guy does come out and identify himself, I mean, the way it all goes down is pretty damn cool and crazy. Let's talk about quickly the 2002 Daytona 500. You get, you know, one of the things that we see on social media from everybody is the story of you getting out of the car and pulling on the fender. He can't do that, is what they holler over the radio broadcast.
Oh, yeah.
Right? You knew, did you know, I guess, when you were getting out of that car, you either had to come down pit road to fix it or you were going to try to fix it on the back straightaway one way or another.
Yeah, well, I can put it out and fix it or pit. You see, I knew it was smoking pretty bad.
Yeah.
But that's what tail, you know. I'm going to tear this car up and else too.
You had to take
blowing the tire.
So you took your chance getting out of the car there.
And Glover said, can you see what's wrong? I said, well, it's got a big cut in it. He said, well, put it out. Okay.
Yeah.
That's when the crown was right there.
Were you mad that they put you, black flagged you because of that? Were you upset or did you understand?
They would finish under caution, you know. That's the first time they throw it in it. Stop them and just for the last two laps. Again, you know. So I should have won the race.
Yeah, you think you're still pretty hot. You're still pretty salty about it.
Yeah.
All right. That's good to know. Would you do anything different?
Probably if I had to do it again, I'd sit in the car and blow the tire, hell, blow something out and hit the wall, you know.
Yeah.
Going for the win.
I got you. Well, I don't think any of us want to see what would happen if you'd have not got out of the car to pull that fender. I think you did the right thing by getting out to try to fix it. I don't know, man. NASCAR maybe should have let you be able to work on it. You're one man back there, you know.
Yeah.
Ain't like the whole crew's changing the tires.
I broke my damn fingers too. Winning it back up.
Oh yeah.
I said, I'm gonna give one more tug.
And you finally got it.
I know that.
Oh man. Well, we had a lot of fun talking to you yesterday. I know I told you that.
Yeah, I appreciate it. It was good.
Yeah, we enjoyed it, man. And I know you're in town visiting everybody. That's good to know that you spent a couple of days while you're here seeing everybody. And I know you're going back home soon, but I hope you had a great trip. I hope you got to see a lot of good friends.
What happened was on the fender too.
Yeah.
To full race car had a checklist, and the fabricator, I had the glove rope note, put to trim right front fender 1/4 inch.
Yeah.
And didn't do it.
Oh no. So if he'd have done that, maybe your fender wouldn't rub.
Cost me $1,000.
Yeah. That's what it paid.
I mean,
$1 million.
More money about Gammy, but you know, he starts the odds of you can win with that race, you know, 3 to go.
Yeah. Well, y'all were fast back then. That thing, Silver Bullet was a rocket. You bet.
Built a car in a week.
That's a pretty short period of time considering most people spend all winter on their Daytona stuff.
She did.
Yeah. Well, we appreciate it, man. Thanks for letting me call you back. Yeah. Have a good, safe trip home.
All right, we'll do it.
All right, Sterling, we'll see you.
Thanks, man. All right, bye.
All right, man, I'm glad we did that.
Dude, that's fantastic. Okay, so I had so many things that came across my mind just listening to you guys talk. First of all, boy, does Sterling Marlin, I think, is like Ken Schrader when he knows every single dollar that he's made or could have made. He knows the purse money. I mean, like, just in the conversation from Wednesday to even what he just brought up now, he knows how much that move that that Glover didn't do, that he forgot on the checklist, cost him. Cost me $500,000.
Yeah.
Cost me $500,000. And I'm like, dang, that guy knows every dollar that he's made and hasn't made. So that's something.
I know. A lot of people know what they've spent or know some details about things that have happened, but he knows what he didn't win.
That's right.
I mean, that's really interesting that he can retain the type of information like that.
It is amazing. Right. All right. So what did you think about his LW? Right.
Well, so if I can be quite honest, LW Wright, or a man saying he's LW Wright, came out in the last year.
Mm-hmm.
And, man, I mean, it left me with more questions than answers about, you know, what went on. And I don't know that, you know, the questions that I would have wanted to ask LW Wright, or this man posing as LW Wright, didn't get asked. And I feel like the mystery of the story was the air come out of the balloon a little bit.
So the mystery of the story was cooler than whatever revelations we got in the past years.
I suppose, yeah. I mean,
I understand that.
Listen, whether it's really a true mystery or not isn't necessarily the point for me.
Mm-hmm.
It's the idea that it could be, right? And trying, you know, if we're going to have a guy that comes out and says, I'm L.W. Wright, and we're going to add credibility to every excuse that he has, damn, we're taking the mystery out of this, this really cool story. So I believe that Sterling propped up the mystery.
Yeah, I gotcha.
Right?
Yeah.
He gave it life.
Right. I agree.
He said basically what we all thought all along. You know, the funny part that we didn't know was the guy was scared to get in a car, didn't want to practice. It was like climbing right. into an electric chair.
Right.
And then, you know, the guy, they truly disappeared. Sterling was there. He said, I was there with the car the whole time, crew chiefing it. And recognized right away the guy was a fraud. And then when the guy Sterling tells him to park it because he won't mash the gas and he's scared to go, the guy takes the car to the garage, and while Sterling and them are gathering up the pits to bring all that stuff back toward the garage area, they get back and the truck and trailer's gone, the car's gone. Mm-hmm. Sterling had to go all the way to around Nashville somewhere where he lived to get the car, find it. It was stuffed in a barn.
Yeah.
All of that, to me, props the mystery back up, that this guy was a con man. If that's L.W. Wright that we've been, you know, that's been revealed to us in the last year, then that, you know, the mystery of who this guy was has now solved. But the story, as we were told, the fable or whatever you want to call it, is legit.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
What is a fable?
A fable is a tale.
Yeah. So we've been led to believe that there was this, you know, the shenanigans and the con and the disappearing, it all was real.
Yeah.
Or some to a point, right?
Yeah.
Still fascinating.
Yeah.
Right? So I'm glad about that because I wanted that story to, you know, I wanted it to live on. I didn't want this guy to come out and everybody go, oh, yeah, well, he has an excuse for everything, so there was no mystery,
well,
right?
Yeah, there's a romance to it, yes. And let's just call it a redneck romance, you know? I mean, because frankly, you know, there's – once you know what the magic trick is, once that's gone, you don't ever get that back, you know? Like, and so this is – there's a bit of mystery here. There's a bit of magic, a bit of romance, and I love the fact that not only that Sterling – has a perspective that nobody else on the planet has, but we have the ability to go, you could go call him up and ask him.
I know. I felt like that was one person that would be able to either say, yeah, it wasn't that big of a deal, right? Or the mystery and all the buildup over the last two decades wasn't that big of a deal. Or, yeah, everything that everybody said it was is what it was, right? So, pretty incredible. And I don't know that I've ever really heard that much from Sterling about this story. So, at least for me.
That's a good point. Yeah. He never talked about it. I don't remember that.
Yeah, and he seemed willing to.
Yeah.
But nobody ever...
Just needed somebody to ask him.
And he was a man on the grounds, right? He was there.
Yeah.
Right alongside. He fixed the car when L.W. Wright wrecked it in qualifying, and which I was thinking, like, why? If you know he was a con, and he wrecks it in qualifying... why do you fix it? Why don't you say, hey man, let's just call it a weekend?
This ain't working out.
Right. He's like, I don't get my, apparently he don't get his money unless the guy gets the green flag.
Right.
How about that? I mean, could you imagine a man walking, could you imagine a man conning his way all the way to the green flag of a cup race at Talladega, no less? Talladega.
Well, if it's going to
happen
anywhere.
They're running 200 miles an hour.
I know, but if there's anywhere you can probably get away with it, Talladega feels like that could be.
Why?
Because I don't know.
It's the most treacherous and dangerous, and I don't know that.
It just needs somebody with the balls to go do it.
It certainly couldn't happen today, but anyhow, man, I'm glad we were able to talk to Sterling again, and I think this is something that maybe, you know, not every week are we going to have something where we go, oh, we let him out the door. Forgot to ask them or wanted to hear about this, but now with this Thursday show, we got a chance to get them on the horn. So,
well, we're one for one. That's right. After the first interview we did, I enjoyed Sterling. We said it before he came in the studio. We weren't quite sure what to expect with him in terms of how he was able to have a conversation. You know, his what was his speech going to be like? And
I reiterate the point that we made before that interview, and that is, did it require some grace? Sure. Does it require for us to go, this may be a little harder than to understand than some others? Sure. But Sterling Marlin is still every bit the badass that he always was, and he comes in here toting beer, and I think that he exceeded at my expectations. I hope he exceeded yours, and I enjoyed it. Yeah. I enjoyed every bit of it.
I did too, man. It was fun to talk to him. Way to kick off this season.
Yeah.
Dale Jr. Down Low with a great guest like that.
I'd only wish we'd have drank the beer with him. People said that. I noticed after we released this thing yesterday, they're like, surely y'all drank a beer with him, right? He brought the beer. You didn't drink it with him. And I'm like, it's a great point.
It was cold too.
Was it really?
Damn right it was.
I think he brought it wanting to drink beer with us. Why did we not do that?
We got to do better.
Call him back. Tell him to come back.
NASCAR history and heritage come alive at the NASCAR Hall of Fame. Celebrate my fellow inductees Donnie Allison, Jimmy Johnson, and Chad Knaus with their class of 2024 artifacts enshrined in the Hall of Honor. Don't miss the Ford Performance Showcase. It's a new Inside NASCAR exhibit that showcases the Ford Mustang's next-gen car through its design and innovation. The latest edition of Glory Road explores over 75 years of racing history with its cool 33-degree banking and 19 cars on display. On Mondays and Fridays, there's guided tours that take you behind the scenes with incredible stories and access to a NASCAR Hall of Fame insider. Or you can explore the hall at your own pace with the new mobile hub. It's a digital experience. Get behind the wheel of a realistic iRacing simulator. Or you can learn how fast-paced pit stops work with the Pit Crew Challenge. From the legends who shaped the sport to the new heroes earning a spot in the record books, the NASCAR Hall of Fame delivers an unforgettable experience. Book your visit to the hall today at NASCARHall.com.
Dude, we covered a ton of stuff in Tuesday's Dirty Air.
Yeah.
But we didn't even get to all the things that we wanted to talk about. And even since then, there's been even new news. I know, like, our boy Connor Daly's going to be trying for the Daytona 500, which, by the way, how cool would that be? Because if one thing's better than one guy, one podcast host in the Daytona 500, the money team, the Tony Jr. car. So, I hope he makes it. But that'd be cool. So we've had that. We've got other things. Listen. Kyle Busch was came out with a statement.
Say Kyle Butt.
Kyle Butt.
Just call him Kyle Butt.
Kyle Butt.
I mean, would that be the first time somebody called him that? Maybe not. I don't know.
I think it is. Maybe. This is the very first time he's ever been called that, Mike.
Kyle Butt. Well, let's call him that from now on.
You are taking ownership of that one.
Sure, I'll take ownership of it. Kyle Butt had a gun at the Mexican airport. Yeah. That's the headline.
Yeah.
But did you think anything of that news? Did you of all people, for that to happen, walking through the airport with a gun,
I had to
Kyle
go.
Kyle Butt.
I had to go. I had to go and see if it was true.
Oh, you thought he made it up?
Well, I wouldn't say that. I would say that I didn't know whether it was a real story or not. Whether it was is this some type of do you check the Twitter handle and make sure it's not a parody account or something?
Ah, I gotcha. Okay. Well, he put out a statement.
I know he did.
Yeah. But you're saying it could have been from the
I'm just wondering, like,
it could have been from an account like Kyle Butt instead of Kyle Busch, right?
When I saw it immediately, I didn't think I just was questioning whether it was real or not. I'm like, just like anybody else, like, what?
Yeah.
Is this real?
Yeah. Well,
and then I thought, man, I didn't see Kyle Busch as a guy with a concealed carry permit.
Did really? You? Well, now that he works for Richard Childress, maybe that was part of the requirement. Maybe that's in the contract. You don't hire anybody without a concealed permit. Can't drive for Richard.
Yeah.
Better tote. Maybe better be packing some heat somewhere.
Yeah. I had a concealed a long, long, long time ago, but I was going to do the class again. I got lazy.
No.
Yeah. And just didn't do it.
Do you know, though, it's believable. I had the same thing. It wasn't with a gun. It was with a knife. I had a knife in my backpack just a couple months ago going to Nashville, and I'm I forgot all about it. Mm-hmm. I just always had it in my backpack, and I just forgot about it.
What kind of, like a regular pocket knife?
Pocket knife, yep.
Oh, man, yeah. I can see
and,
how.
And like a heavy-duty pocket knife. It wasn't a Swiss Army knife. I'm telling you, it was like, you know, it was. It's a nice pocket knife. And I'm just going through TSA. They said, sir, come over here. And now I'm like, oh, God, here we go. What is it? What in the hell? I'm going to have to explain to them what an iPad is. What is it? And then they, like, hold up the knife, and I'm like, ugh.
So what happened?
They took it.
Right. They send you on.
They took it. Right. Yeah. It delayed me for a while. Because, yeah.
5 minutes or
No, more than that. Not an hour. Probably 30 minutes, 35 minutes. I wanted to keep the knife.
They checked you out?
They checked me out. And by the way, there may be just a few Dale Earnhardt Juniors in the world. There's a ton of Mike Davises, and one of them's got something on them.
Yeah.
You know, one of them's got a track record. So I got you. They're not quick.
Yeah.
But, so it's believable. I guess my point is that you can forget that you're maybe carrying a weapon into an airplane.
Yeah.
I felt embarrassed by it.
Hey, everyone. Dirty Mo Media President Mike Davis here. Excited to tell you about one of our newest sponsors at Dirty Mo, Airbnb. The irony here is that Airbnb is new to Dirty Mo Media, but Dirty Mo Media is not new to Airbnb. It has been accommodating us for years. And if you are a race fan, and I think you are, you know why. I mean, you've booked hotels during a race weekend. The prices are insane. You're stuck with these unreasonable multi-night minimums, whereas Airbnb, you got many choices all within proximity, and it ends up being way more affordable. Now, I'm not only a frequent Airbnb guest, but my wife and I are also Airbnb hosts. And you should be too. We've been doing it for years. I'll tell you why. We have an investment property that we realized it could be earning additional income through Airbnb. You don't have to have an investment property to do that. You could just find extra space in your home. That works too. It all could be making you some extra cash. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Let's see what else. I just want to see if you had any reactions to these things. Kyle Larson's going to be running the Indy 500 in 2024.
Yeah, that was some news that came out over the offseason, and he had hinted he had interest, but there were some limitations, or he was kind of tired. And there was like a couple years where he's like, I'm tired of getting asked about this, remember?
Yeah.
You know, and so, but he finally comes out and says, man, I'm going to do it. Yeah. I think that will be a very, very anticipated event.
Oh, yeah.
Because he is young in his prime and winning anything and everything he drives. And so that to me, I know we're not that thrilled about. I mean, it's not creating a big buzz now, no more than any other cup guy that announces he's going to do that. But when we really get up on top of that, that'll be a big damn deal.
You dang straight it will.
Yeah.
That's right. Because he really can just drive just about anything, right? So we had an interesting week. We launched a couple new shows. We got one going out today, Dirty Mo Dough with Steve Letarte's going out today. But we had Denny on Monday doing his first episode of Action's Detrimental. In that conversation, and also on Door Bumper Clear, a lot of people talking about how, what do you call it, the bumper tags? The bumper tags still hurt.
Yeah.
Cars still causing some headaches.
Rigid. Cars still rigid. Too rigid.
Listen, I know you probably get tired of me asking you about this, but you are the concussion guy, and I felt after watching the Busch Light Clash, that I started becoming very concerned about concussions and the susceptibility to concussions for 2023, and they're just, if these cars still haven't gotten any better, we're going to have a couple other drivers have problems, maybe even have to come out of the car. And I hate that. I hate that going into Daytona thinking about it. If they were taking these types of hits and coming out with these types of problems at that little racetrack that's not a racetrack, as you said on Tuesday so eloquently, I can't even imagine what these hits are going to be like at the big tracks.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that NASCAR has made this statement that they are done and they have fixed the problem. They are finished trying, you know, they're finished making this car absorb the crashes better. I think it's an ongoing process. And drivers are always going to be in some element of danger driving race cars. Drivers should never be satisfied with the situation they're in. They should always be outspoken and vocal about any concern they may have, such as Denny and Bubba Wallace, post the clash. They need to talk. They need to mention what they're feeling. We, you know, they need to hold everybody accountable. But I also know that NASCAR is still in the process of understanding where gains can be made, how to make gains without creating additional issues or new issues. They did a lot to get the rear of the car to absorb crashes better, the harder impacts where a car spins out and backs up into the wall. They did something to the safer barrier that was unique, where they pulled the foam behind the spacer barrier out and had fewer foam pieces around the racetrack that would allow this safer barrier to absorb those hits, those smaller hits. That was something I don't think anybody even was looking at. So we know NASCAR is looking outside of the box, right? Mm-hmm. We know NASCAR is exhausting all avenues. And they won't stop. They won't say, okay, that's it.
No, of course not.
Now, we also got to know, man. I mean, yes, we need to be on a quest for safety all the time, but we also have to accept the idea that this is terribly dangerous.
Yeah.
And there will never be a fully 100% safe alternative other than just not getting in the car at all. So, you know, but yes, is this car rigid in areas? Yes. Will NASCAR try to identify and find solutions to that? Yes. Is it slow? Yes. They're trying to avoid any unintended. So, for example, an unintended consequence to a change would be this. NASCAR could have hastily made a lot of changes to the rear clip of the car to make sure that it absorbed crashes better last year. The terrifying result or repercussion to that is that the fuel cell would then go into the rear end housing or the transaxle, and it would bust. It would the transaxle is going to pierce and go through the front of the fuel cell. As the fuel cell squeezed between the wall of the transaxle, fuel's coming out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And now you got a car on fire. Now you got a driver in a situation where he could get burned or killed. And so, you know, that they were trying to make the changes to the rear clip and avoid creating that type of a repercussion, right? That clip's got to absorb, it's got to crunch, it's got to bend, it's got to go somewhere. But it can't send that fuel cell through the transaxle.
Nope.
Right?
Can't do that.
So there's every time that you make a change, there's going to be a repercussion, and it could be something severe. You can create an even more severe issue. And do you think everybody's going to have grace for NASCAR when that happens?
No, but you know, that's part of the job, though.
NASCAR has to make this process work to where it doesn't create additional issues, and it's going slower, obviously, than probably the drivers want. But I do have confidence that, you know, there was a lot of loud conversation about it midway through the 2022 season. Drivers rightfully angered and pushing NASCAR to get some momentum. They now have that momentum. NASCAR is now trying to do everything they can. But I don't think that all types of hits are now better off for the drivers. There's still going to be some scenarios where these light bumper tags, bump drafting, you know, checkups in short track racing and so forth are going to result in hard hits that the drivers want to have eliminated. They want that bumper to absorb crunch. And there'll be a lot that NASCAR will have to do to make that happen.
Yeah, man. This is
the car is going to have more changes. The bumper structures, all the things that bolt onto this car, it's going to have to get weaker. It's going to have to absorb and get. That means more shit's going to have to get torn up. That means when Denny Hamlin sends his car, the 23 or the 45, the one he owns, down into turn three, and it gets in a chain reaction checkup at Martinsville, and it knocks the whole, you know, it bends all of the front bumper structure, but the car's able to continue and finish the race, well, that costs him, you know, whatever, $15,000, $20,000 to get a new bumper structure. Can't fix that one. You got to shit can it. And get a new one. Yes, it's going to get more expensive. when these cars start wrinkling up. It's a process.
It's a process. Makes me also glad I'm not an owner. But yeah. You, on the other hand, you know all about these bills.
The Dale Jr. Download is brought to you by ZipRecruiter.
You going to any concerts this summer, man?
I am. I'm seeing a concert in June. Hardy and Kip Moore.
Love Hardy.
In Charlotte. I was so stressed getting the tickets. I'm going to be front row. I'm in the pit. When these tickets go out, man, I am online as soon as tickets open. I don't want to miss a thing.
Yeah, you know, you got to act quick.
Yes.
And when you want the best, you have to act quickly or someone else will get it instead. It's like if you're hiring for a business, you want to find the most talented people for your open roles before the competition scoops them up. Mm. So what's the best way to do that? ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter finds qualified candidates fast, and right now you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/Dale Jr.
ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology takes center stage to identify top talent for your roles. Immediately after you post your job, ZipRecruiter's smart technology starts showing you qualified people for it. Amp up your hiring performance with ZipRecruiter and find the best fast. See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Just go to this exclusive web address right now to try ZipRecruiter for free. ZipRecruiter.com/Dale Jr. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/Dale Jr. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Dale, before we wrap up here, you mentioned it the other day. You're going to be in the late model race this weekend. Yep. When do you head to Florence?
There's practice on Friday. Weather doesn't look great, but we'll see. A couple hours of practice Friday. The race is Saturday around 2:30. There's a little practice in the morning and qualifying on Saturday, but we should be wrapped up around dark on Saturday night.
All right. You going to watch – no, you're not going to be watching any NASCAR race because this is their last off weekend for a while.
That's right.
That's what Denny said, last off weekend. So I think we're going to watch Super Bowl. Super Bowl pick? You got one?
Well, I think, you know, you hate to any of the teams that are in your division, like the Eagles, I pull for the Commanders. You don't like them. You want to beat them. You hate them. You want them to have bad years unless they make it to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Then – I am the kind of person that wants that team to win.
Look at you.
Because it makes our division look better.
Okay. Look at you. That's very commendable.
Actually. Well, that's coming from somebody whose division's been the laughing stock and, you know, oh, that's the worst division in the league where, you know, all the teams are terrible.
Yeah.
Well, if we have one of the best teams in the division, then we're kind of more well-respected as a whole. Maybe it doesn't really work that way, but – so I'm kind of pulling for the Eagles, to be honest with you. As hard as it is to say that.
I am too.
I want Martin Truex Jr. to be happy. His Eagles.
Oh, well, I mean, it's been such a rough 2 weeks for him that, you know,
yeah.
He needs something to be happy about, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Boy, you know, he's loving life right now with his big clash win. I'm going for the Eagles too. You know, half of Alabama's roster is made up, is on the Eagles, so Jalen Hurts.
And although, the Commanders have quite a few.
They do.
Yeah.
They actually do. So that's that. Have a good week. Boy, what a launch week, Alex. It's been a good one.
Yeah.
We had a bunch of good podcasts this week. And I also want to just say Ultimate Experience Las Vegas seats are still available. You could buy your tickets right now at dirtymomedia.com. We've got a few seats left, a few. It's already a really good group. I'm looking forward to that. That's going to be on March 5th. So if you want to come to Vegas and hang out with us, I think Brett's going to be there just hanging out, not spotting. So we've never had an Ultimate Experience with him on full liquor alert.
Should be fun.
Maybe we kick him out.
Yeah.
But yeah, so Ultimate Experience, go to dirtymomedia.com. Dale, close us out, whatever you want.
Yeah, I just encourage everybody to go back as we close this week out. Go back and check out all of the stuff that we've been able to offer you this year. We've got an incredible year full of content. Actions Detrimental, Denny Hamlin's new podcast, came out Monday. Make sure you want to go listen to that. See what Denny's going to be telling us throughout the year. Get a taste of what kind of content you might get from that. The Door Bumper Clear guys are back at it, and we all love what they do. Dirty Mo Doe from Steve Letarte. A bit of a gambling podcast, going to give you some odds on everything happening around in the sport week in and week out. It's going to be a lot of fun to see how that is received. And obviously, all the episodes of Dale Jr. Download coming at you every week.
That's right.
Make sure you check out everything Dirty Mo Media has going on. We're always growing and trying to provide you with new information, new content to listen to, and hopefully you're giving us the great feedback so we can continue to change and grow our shows. and shape this business. Appreciate everybody. It's been a fun week, been a fun record. Can't wait to go race this weekend, and we'll talk to you next Tuesday. Check out Dirty Mo Media on Twitter, Facebook, TikTok, and Instagram.